Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
We are finishing this series that I've been doing on courageous Christians. We're finishing that series today, and I hope that it has been helpful to you. I told you early on that my promise to you as a preacher is that I'll do my very best to preach biblical and practical and helpful sermons every Sunday that you can use all through your week. I ask you to make me a promise that you'll come and that you'll bring your friends and bring your family. And I hope that you'll keep your end of that bargain and let's work together to share the good news that we have with so many other folks. But I hope that this has been a helpful series for you. We've talked about courage in the face of fear. We've talked about courage in the face of frustration, in the face of foes. Courage as we face the future, as we face failure. Courage when our faith is weak. And today we're going to talk about courage when we're tired. Courage when we are fatigued. And I read about a dad and mom who were incredibly tired after bringing their baby home from the hospital, and they were doing everything they could to try to get the baby to sleep so that they could get some sleep. And they read or heard somewhere that if they could take the blanket and kind of make it into a swaddling cloth, that that would help the baby sleep. And so they looked it up on the internet, but they were just not having any luck. They'd get it wrapped around the baby and the baby would squirm out of it. So the dad did what he knew worked for every other situation. And he went to the garage and he got duct tape. And he wrapped that blanket up, and that baby slept like a baby, and they slept like babies. And so I just encourage you today to use duct tape for all possible purposes. No. Life makes us tired. There's lots of things that make us tired, and we get worn out, and we get fatigued. And God has a plan to give us courage when we're tired. He wants us to soar on wings of eagles. And we're going to look at that imagery this morning as we talk about having courage from the Lord when we're tired, from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm thankful that you're here, and let's continue to worship together. Would you hear the word of the Lord again from Isaiah chapter 40? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust or wait in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I think this passage has a lot to say to us as we try to find courage when we're worn out, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we want to give up, when we want to fall down. And we're going to start at the end of the passage and work our way back up. And we're going to start with this imagery of an eagle, because the symbol of courageous strength is soaring. If you have an outline in your bulletin and you want to follow along, you can fill in that blank. The symbol of courageous strength is soaring. Now, I like birds from a distance. I don't like birds up close. I think they're really neat to look at, and I think they're neat to listen to, but I don't want to get close to a bird. Birds scare me. I'll just admit that. And my friend Wendell loves birds. And so I'm calling him or texting him all the time and asking him, okay, I saw this bird out here at the farm, and it looks like this, and I'll try to describe it. And he'll say, oh, yeah, that's a warbler, blah, 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 blah. And I'll say, oh, well, it sounds like this. And I'll try to make some noise. And he'll go, Ken, there's no bird that sounds like that. But I have learned some things about birds. I've learned some things about how birds fly. Birds really fly basically using three different techniques. The first way that birds fly is to flap their wings. Now, Ted had you say some things after him. I'm wondering how many of you would, you know, flap for me this morning. Okay, that's about what I thought. Okay, birds fly by flapping their wings. And really, that makes sense, right? I mean, they flap their wings to try to counteract gravity and get some push and pull against the currents, and they fly by flapping their wings. But it's constant work. It doesn't stop. I mean, they got to keep flapping their wings. They can't stop or they will fall. And so that's a lot of work. That's the way a lot of birds fly. Some birds fly by gliding. Some birds fly by gliding. These birds build up enough speed and enough height that they get up high enough to catch maybe a little bit of a wind, and they just begin to glide. But the problem with gliding is everything that glides is going to end up coming down at some point in time, right? And so they're going to end up back on the ground. And that's when they're going to have to start flapping again. We always come back to flapping. But some birds fly by soaring. Some birds fly by soaring. And really, only a few birds are big enough and strong enough to soar. Eagles soar. Their wings are large. Their wings are strong. And they catch the rising currents of warm air. And without barely moving a feather, eagles soar through the sky. Just on these currents of warm air. Some eagles have been clocked at 80 miles an hour and they're not moving a wing. They're soaring. It's beautiful. It's majestic. It is effortless. And Isaiah says, those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength and they will mount up and soar like they have eagle's wings. God wants us to wait. He wants us to soar. Now, if you're like me, you spend most of your life flapping. Any admitted flappers out there? If you're like me, you spend a lot of your time flapping your wings and you expend a lot of energy and you make a lot of commotion, but in the end, you really don't get very far and you're just worn out from the effort. Now, if you're like me, every once in a while, you have a really nice moment of gliding. And you flapped hard enough that you actually got high enough that you could just coast for a minute and you just start gliding. And wow, that feels pretty good. But before you know it, you look and you're headed back down to earth. If you're like me, you've had very, very few moments of soaring in your life. But God wants us to soar. And God can teach us to soar, to catch those updrafts of His Spirit, to spread our wings with His strength and His energy, and experience majesty and grace unlike few things we'll ever experience. How do we do that? How do we go from flapping to soaring in life? How do we find courage and strength, courageous strength, when we're just tired and when we're worn out and when we're ready to give up? Well, the symbol of courageous strength is soaring in Isaiah chapter 40. The secret of courageous strength is waiting. The secret is waiting. Even youths, that's a hard word for me to say for some reason, youths. Even youths shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The secret of courageous strength is waiting. And the Bible has a lot to say about waiting, and I like very little of it. I don't like waiting. I bet there's a lot in the room who are with me on that as well. None of us choose to spend time in a waiting room. That's not a place that we want to be. I heard someone talk about waiting like this, and I love this. Said, when you're in a restaurant, you wait to put your name on a list so that you can wait. And after your name is on the list, you wait for them to call your name so that you can get a table. And then after you get a table, you wait for them to bring a menu. And after you read the menu, you wait for them to come and take your order. And after you take your order, you wait for them to bring your food. And after you eat your food, you wait for them to bring your check. And after you get the check, you wait for them to come back so that you can pay for it. And they have the audacity to call the person who presides all over this the waiter. We don't like waiting. I'm not good at waiting. Chances are you're not good at waiting either. And I think at the heart of what is hard about waiting is that I'm not in control when I'm waiting. That's why I like flapping, because it makes me at least feel like that I'm doing something, like I'm in control of where I'm going and what I'm doing. But waiting involves losing control or giving up control. Waiting involves submitting. Waiting involves submitting to someone else and to be at their mercy and on their timetable. And I'm not good at that. Waiting involves submitting to God. It means submitting to God's word. It means submitting to God's will. It means submitting to God's ways. And the secret of a strength that gets us through when we're tired and when we're fatigued and when we are overwhelmed and when we want to give up, the secret to waiting through that is submission to God. And I want you to know the Bible says there are a lot of benefits for waiting. I need to hear these because, again, naturally, I don't like to wait. But waiting, if we are disciplined enough to listen to God and to take waiting on Him seriously, we're going to find that there are a lot of blessings to waiting. Most of them are shared in the Psalms. That's an appropriate place to find out about waiting. Waiting gives us perception. Psalm chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. What's this writer asking for? He's asking for perception. He's asking for the ability to see, the ability to know, the ability to understand. And how does he say he gains that ability, that perception? He gains it by waiting on the Lord. So a blessing and a benefit of waiting is that we're going to see. We're going to have some perception. Waiting also gives you protection. Psalm chapter 33. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. I want you to notice the imagery here. While we are waiting, it feels like we are doing nothing. But while we are waiting, God is doing something. He is protecting us. God is our shield. He is our shield while we wait. And so waiting offers the blessing of protection. It also gives us the blessing of perspective. Psalm 37. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. See, waiting on the Lord is a discipline that God's people absolutely must practice, because waiting is an antidote to envy. Waiting is an antidote to agitation. Waiting is an antidote to worry in the face of what looks like things are going all wrong. And it looks like, how much longer, Lord? Waiting gives us perspective. It helps us to see the way that God sees. Waiting also gives us provision. Lamentations chapter 3, waiting gives us provision. The Lord is good for those who wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We probably don't, we don't need any other benefit than this. The Lord is good to people who wait on Him. He's good. God is good to His children when they slow down, when they quit flapping, when they're quiet and still. God is good to us when we wait on Him. And when you learn how to wait on the Lord, His goodness becomes ever more evident in your life. God will provide. And so waiting gives us provision. And waiting also gives us power. And that brings us back to Isaiah chapter 40. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. When you don't have any power left, when you don't have any strength left, when you are powerless, waiting on the Lord renews power and strength. Waiting on the Lord renews energy. And verse 28 tells us that that is true because God has an inexhaustible fund of power. God has an inexhaustible fund of strength. It never, ever, ever runs out. We talked about the waves last week, that the waves never stop. Since the creation of the world, the waves have never stopped coming ashore. And the Bible tells us that God is the one who makes those waves. He's the one who stirs up the deep and wakes the waves. God has never, He's never gotten tired of doing that. He's never lost His energy for making waves. His arms have never gotten tired of stirring up the deep. He's never gone to sleep and thought, I just can't do this tonight. I've got to stop for a while. God has an inexhaustible fund of power and strength. And Scripture over and over and over tells us that when we wait on Him, that He will give us some of that power and strength. He'll give us some of that energy. So waiting has incredible benefits and blessings. But boy, learning to wait is still hard. Even knowing all that, learning to wait is still hard. So how do we learn to wait? Well, very practically. And if you have children, this is going to be one of the most important things you can ever teach them. If you're already grown up, it's still something that you need to teach yourself. A man named Daniel Goleman wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. And in the book, he makes the case that effectiveness in life has less to do with cognitive intelligence, less to do with smarts, than it does to do with emotional intelligence. And he explains what he means by emotional intelligence. And he explains it this way very simply in all this research that he did. He says what he's talking about with emotional intelligence, one of the key things that will make you successful in life is that you have the ability to delay gratification. That you have the ability to come in here at 8:30 on Sunday morning and see the donuts and not get one. Delayed gratification. He says that is at the heart of emotional intelligence, and that emotional intelligence is a factor in success in life, the ability to wait. Now, you may have seen this or heard of this before, but they did a little, not a little, a big study at Stanford University on delayed gratification. And there's a video here I want you to see about the marshmallow test. I think there was at least one time in there where I saw a little boy flapping his wings. I love that, and I can relate to that. And you can too. Because waiting is so hard. Delaying gratification seems very unnatural to us. Stanford, as I said, did a long-term study with this marshmallow test. They gave the test to four-year-olds, and then they tracked them through life. And they discovered that those who were able to wait, that those little kids who at that table with that marshmallow in front of them, those that were able to wait, that were able to delay gratification grew up to be more socially competent, to be able better to deal with stress, and were less likely to give up under pressure. Those who could not delay gratification, those who just had to eat the marshmallow, grew up to be more stubborn, more indecisive, more easily upset and frustrated, and more resentful that they just didn't get enough in life. The simple act of waiting and the power that it has in our life. Again, we would do so well with our children if we could teach our children the discipline of delayed gratification, because there are benefits in learning to wait. But it's so hard. Twice in the last week, I had conversations with a brother and a sister who are each going through pretty difficult circumstances, and they both told me that as they have sought the Lord through this difficult circumstance, that they had each separate conversations, but they each told me they had come to the conclusion that the Lord was trying to slow them down. That they felt like the experience they were going through, the lesson they were supposed to learn from it, was God was saying, you know what, you need to slow up. You need to quit flapping your wings so much. They didn't use that terminology, but that's my terminology after this lesson. They just said, the Lord's teaching me to wait on the Lord. And I think that the problem that we have with waiting really comes down to two specific reasons. And one is waiting means being still. And I am just not good at being still. And second, waiting means being quiet. And I'm not very good at being quiet either. And the reality is, I'm not going to be good at being still or being quiet, either one, unless I practice. Unless I intentionally create that discipline in my life. The discipline of waiting. And so I want to challenge you this week to practice this. I want to challenge you this week to practice waiting on the Lord. To practice being quiet and being still. I was about to say you could sing the song Be Still and Know to help you, but that would be not being quiet. See, it's hard. And I'm going to promise you this, it is going to be very hard. You're going to set aside some time, and you're going to set aside some place, and you're going to just be quiet and be still and wait on the Lord. And the first 2 minutes is going to feel like 22 minutes. But keep on and push through it. Delay the gratification of whatever it is and wait on the Lord. I want to really challenge you to put this into practice, because the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Isaiah chapter 30, for the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, says, only in returning to me and waiting on me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But then Isaiah said about those folks, but you won't have any of this. You won't have any of this. But the Lord is asking us to have some of this, to slow down, to be quiet, to be still, to learn to wait. And when we do, folks, that is when we get to soar. That's when we get to soar, because the source of courageous strength is God. It's not me. I don't have it in me to soar, but God has it in me. God has it in Him for me to soar. Which brings us back to the beginning of the passage. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Folks, if you are going to wait on anyone, the Lord is someone worth waiting on. The Lord is worth waiting on. Our God. Hear what this verse tells us about Him. Our God is sovereign. He is the Lord. Our God is eternal. He is the everlasting God. Our God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is the Creator. Our God is unchanging. He never, ever grows tired or weary. Our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. We cannot even begin to fathom what He understands. He is merciful. He gives strength to the weary. He is graceful and gracious. He increases power to the weak. Isaiah is teaching us that when we get tired and when we get worn out, when we are weary, when we are exhausted, when we want to give up and when we want to fall down and when we want to quit, how do we find the courage to keep going? We wait on a God who is worth waiting for. And when we do, we will find that we are able to soar. Because God created us to soar. By nature, we are flappers who get a few moments of gliding. But by waiting on God, we can experience the thrill of soaring. So again, for those who have ears to hear, I want to encourage you to set aside some time this week to be still and silent, to sit before the Lord, to wait, to gain these blessings, perception and protection and perspective and provision and power from this incredible God who wants to give all of that to us, but we just got to stop flapping for a few minutes. And it's going to seem unnatural. We're going to feel like a four-year-old who's sitting with the marshmallow in front of us, and we're going to want to lick it like they did and turn it over like they did and hold it up and smell it like they did. And God's just saying, put the marshmallow down. I got something better for you if you can wait. If you can just be still for a few minutes. Wait it out. Grow in this discipline. And you'll begin to see those benefits in your life. You'll grow in patience and in peace. You'll grow in power and perspective. You'll grow in prayer and in presence. We've been talking about flying with the metaphor of birds, but I want to change the metaphor as we end and talk about a different kind of flying. Henry Nouwen wrote a book. He called it Sabbatical Journeys. And in the book, he writes about a lot of different people he met. He writes about one family in particular that he met and befriended. And they were called the Flying Rodleys. The Flying Rodleys. They were trapeze artists. Here's what Nouwen wrote. He said, "I'll never forget how enraptured I became when I first saw the Rodleys fly through the air, flying and catching as elegant dancers. And one day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of the troupe, talking about flying, the secret," Rodley said. And I imagine now in leaning in, because when someone who's good at something says, "Here's the secret," I want to pay attention. "The secret," Rodley said, "is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly," he said, "Joe, who is the catcher, when I fly, I have simply to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me." "You do nothing?" Nouwen said in surprise. And Rodley said, "Nothing. The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. Joe is supposed to catch me. A flyer must fly, a catcher must catch, and the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him." The worst thing the flyer can do is try to be the catcher. Your job is to fly. God's job is to catch. And I'm here to proclaim that He will do it. He can do it. We stretch out our arms, our tired and weary arms that we have used to flap for so long. God says, stop flapping and just stretch out your arms and fly. Can you imagine going into the circus and seeing a trapeze artist who swings on that huge swing, and when they let go, they start doing this? That would be one of the most ridiculous, awkward things we could imagine seeing, because it serves no purpose. In fact, it just harms them. It causes them to get off track and to lose energy and to lose momentum. No, when a trapeze artist lets go, it's just the most elegant, graceful thing in the world, and they just stretch out their arms and they wait. And then they're caught. Folks, this morning, I've been reminded all morning long about God's grace. It's just like He's been speaking to me over and over this morning about His grace. While I was getting ready, while I was driving into town, two different songs were just powerful songs about grace. While I was in the atrium, I walked up on a conversation of someone telling another brother about God's grace all morning long. What I want you to know this morning is, whatever you're going through in your life, whatever's just got you worn out, it may be a job you have to do. It may be a relationship that you're in. Maybe a sin that's in your life. Whatever it is that just has got you down and worn out and you're just tired of flapping your wings, I want you to hear me say this morning that our God is so full of grace that if you will, for a moment, stop flapping and wait on Him, He will catch you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are, the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. So powerful, so strong. My friends who just by nature are flappers and who don't feel like we're doing anything if we're not flapping and working and expending our energy and our time and figuring out what to do. And I pray for us, Lord, that you would teach us to wait on you, to be still and to be quiet and just wait. And that we would find the faith to let go and stretch out our arms and that you would catch us. I believe from experience in my own life, I believe from what I read about you in the Word, I believe in what you did for the Lord Jesus, that you will catch us, that you are strong enough and you have enough energy to catch us. Jesus submitted himself completely to you and died, and for 3 days he waited in a grave. And you caught him and you raised him up and you've promised us that you will do the same for us. And so increase our faith, increase our trust in your grace and teach us to wait. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.